It's really good to be with you this morning. It's good when vicars have holidays. It means I get a bit more of a look in, unless it's a vacancy. It's great to be back. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. It's no secret that Andy, my husband, and I like to sail. Don't get out very often, but when we do, we really enjoy it. Now, last summer, whilst I was getting ready to go off to York to General Synod, Andy decided to take our little boat single-handed. I know people do it around the world, but you know, our little boat from the River Deben along the sea to pop down to Bradwell for the annual Bradwell pilgrimage. I don't know whether any of you've been, but it's a really good event in July, so watch out for it. Anyway, he set off. He got to almost the mouth of the river and thought, oh, there's a bit of tangly, ropey stuff I ought to sort out before I go out to sea. And he tells me he went forward to tie it all up and fasten off the foresail. And he leant forward and splash, his mobile phone came out of his pocket straight into the briny. That would have been all right, sort of, most days. But remember, I was going to York and wasn't at the end of a phone, and he wasn't going to be at the end of the phone. I'll tell you over coffee later the story of the call from the Coast Guard who warned me about all of this. Frightened me to death at 7:45 in the morning. Anyway, that's beside the point. He lost it and down it went. But his greatest regret was not the fact that the phone was only a week old or that he'd spent all the previous 5 or 6 days loading in family and friends' number, you know, texting them all and saying, text me back, I need your number, I've lost the old one, and all of that. He had discovered an app for taking back bearings. So what, you say? Back bearings are the things you can take with a handheld compass, and it's a bit tricky if the boat's going like this. When you get lost, or when you can't see a chart, or when your electronics break down, you use the compass like this, and you take these back bearings off different places. You know exactly where you are. Okay? Well, you do if you know that sort of thing. Anyway, he had found an app that did it, and he was very proud of this app. You know, I'll be able to use this when I'm on my own without you checking up on me, you know, telling me where I am. And just in case it all goes wrong, I've got the security of it. But it was down at the bottom of the water. I was thinking about that this week because we have just started Lent. We've eaten all our rich foods and our pancakes and used up all the eggs on Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday. And on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, we began Lent. And Lent is a time, and it's good to remember this in the first Sunday of Lent today. Lent is a time when we can take our bearings and reset our own personal compasses afresh on God and on the love of our Saviour. So I want to ask, how are you planning on using Lent? And don't say, Archdeacon, that's old-fashioned. Go away. We don't want to think about it. Because I think that Lent might just be helpful in two ways for us to connect with the priorities that Bishop Stephen has set us in Transforming Presence about living a distinctive Christian life and also about effective evangelism. Let me explain to you where I've come from with those two thoughts in my mind. In the very early church, the 40 days of Lent were used for two main reasons. One was to prepare penitents, in other words, those who'd fallen short and who'd been excluded from communion and been told, you're not a part of the church unless you sort of say you're sorry and get sorted out and come and live faithfully, was to teach them and restore them to communion at Easter. So they did some teaching, but also to teach and instruct and prepare new Christians for baptism on Easter Day. You know, so there's great excitement around. And that was the purpose of those 40 days in the early church. It didn't take very long before the wider church thought, actually, that's a pretty useful habit. We can set aside some time to get our relationship with God in a better place. It's not him that's moved, it's us. But we can use that time to study together, to learn together, to pray together, to work together, and focus afresh on Jesus. So the old disciplines of Lent got to be known as prayer and fasting, of self-denial and discipline, and also the giving of alms, the giving of money to those in need. The self-denial bit was not purely let's identify with Christ in his suffering, but was also to give space, give time in the busyness of our lives to make time for the study and the prayer and the fasting and the thinking and the learning together, the self-examination and the service of the poor. This was all very much in my mind as I zipped up and down the A12 this week. Now, I've been to Clacton 4 times in 3 days. So you can imagine I've been up and down, up and down, up and down. And twice I got stuck behind accidents, and yesterday morning a pickup truck that was on fire. I could just feel it coming as the police car came past me and just stopped us all, you know, and you just think, am I going to get back in time for the next act of worship in the cathedral? All worked out well. But whilst I was sitting in these queues, I put on Radio Essex. Do you do that? So you hear what's happening on the roads, yeah? So I put on Radio Essex and I was amazed. There was phone-ins on both the occasions I put it on, and they were phone-ins from people in wider Essex ringing up to say what they were giving up for Lent. It was amazing. Okay. So I'm giving up chocolate for Lent, they said. I'm giving up wine. I'm giving up smoking. I'm giving up TV. I'm giving up crisps. The strange thing was, all of this self-denial was pouring in through the line to the airwaves, but nobody mentioned much, if anything, on one programme, of God. It seemed to me that folks beyond my radio were engaging with the giving up almost as much as if it was an extended New Year's resolution, but a bit longer to break bad habits, okay? You know, get fit for Easter, have a new dress, have a slim waist, lower the cholesterol, spend less money. But where was the real purpose of Lent in this? Thought I. Well, I'll think a bit more about that in a moment. But for us as Christian folk, Lent is much more important than shedding a few pounds or lowering our cholesterol. We give something up to make space for study and prayer, to make space to enter our own wilderness, if you like. And our wilderness can be as much in an armchair as out in a desert place. But we enter it to learn more of ourselves and more of how God will use us and teach us and mould us as we seek to be spiritually refreshed and increase our fitter faithfulness. Don't know whether you're reading something for Lent. I've started something. I was a bit late choosing. So when I went to the bookshop at the cathedral and in the diocesan office, I sort of took what was left, but it's really good. It's a book about peace and peacemaking on the journey to Easter. And it describes all the events around Galilee and links Jesus' teaching to how we might be more faithful as peacemakers. One of my former curates used to challenge me. I think probably because it went on the years I gave up either alcohol or meat, as the weeks progressed, I must have got grumpier. Because she said to me, Anna, have you ever thought that you could turn it all on its head and take something extra up rather than giving it up? Some extra act of loving service. So I always think of her on this Sunday of Lent. And also, probably, I also reflect on my own grumpy ability sometimes. One of the little booklets, which I got here, that might help with the taking extra things up and doing things that make a difference, is this one. Have you ever seen it? Yeah, it's great. And then we do it for children as well, which I love that version. But it's called Love Life and Live Lent. And this gives us a good handle on how we should use Lent. Here's what Centamu says, the Archbishop of York. When there are Christians around, that should be good news for everyone, because we are making the love and grace of God real in everything we do. And it's not just in big campaigns and grand gestures, it's in the small everyday things of life. Why not use Lent to catch a glimpse of what's possible when we take a risk of grace? With God's help, each of us can be the change we want to see in our world. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? We can change the world just by our disciplined approach to Lent, our distinctive Christian living. We can make differences and make change. So I want to say, whether you put things down, give things up, or whether you pick up things this Lent as acts of service and love, each one of us should feel the challenge of resetting our bearings and focusing on Jesus, purely and simply listening and watching and waiting for him. Our gospel story, that was the third reading, and I always think it's good to stick with all the readings in Lent. I have to say, Ian was a bit shocked when I said, no, let's go for all three. It's Lent. It's good to have big chunks of scripture. But the gospel from Matthew 4 tells us of Jesus' experience in the 40 days in the wilderness. He is tempted and pushed and pressed to the utmost. It's sort of an early echo of the further pressure he'll be under when he gets to the cross. But the gospel stories begin his baptism. He's just heard, "You are my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." And then he's driven by the Spirit into the desert, into the wilderness. And there he encounters temptation. And the temptation is to pull him away from his mission, pull him away from God's purposes, and make it very self-centered. You see, he could have changed those stones to bread. We know that. Think of the feeding programs he'd have initiated. He'd have been riotous and popular. But no, he said, we don't live on bread alone. We live from every word from the mouth of God. So, okay then, what about throw yourself off the pinnacle and get caught by the angels? No, he said, we don't test God like that. Okay, well, here, look at the cities of the world. The empire in front of you could all be yours. If only, says Satan, you follow me. Go on, be tempted to that one. Build an empire, you'd be a terrific leader. Have one, it's all yours. Worship
the Lord your God only and serve him. And he firmly turns his back on everything that is not of God. And so, worship God, serve God in God's strength is the challenge for us today, from our baptism onwards, and using Lent to renew and refresh our determination to say yes to God, yes to Jesus, yes to God's ways and God's kingdom and his priorities. Priorities that pour love and healing into our broken world. Love and care for the sick, for the misfit, for the downtrodden, for the sinner. So there's another challenge for us, isn't there? When somebody appears in church or in our street or in our neighbourhood, doesn't quite fit, doesn't look like us, maybe a bit smelly, a bit dirty, are we able to say, you're beloved of God, and I love you, and I want to serve you and care for you? For that's how we meet the face of Christ in others, in the weak, in the vulnerable. We serve them just as our Lord did. So if we've given up the cakes and the chocolates and I don't know what, I'll tell you a little aside. One of the things that Andrew and I have decided to do is eat our freezer. That might make you laugh. And I told somebody I was doing this. Like, you shouldn't really tell people what you're up to. And I told people I was doing this and he said, oh, mine's an exploration of archaeology. And I understand the feeling, but it suddenly struck me in my prayers a couple of weeks ago that actually a freezer full of food that doesn't get used is no good example and is no faithful service. It's all there in case the family come, in case people come unexpected, in case Nate, you know. But actually, we could cook whatever it is and share it, cook it and eat it. So that's what we've decided to do for Lent. I have a feeling that we're going to have some very interesting meals because we've said we will only add fresh veg to it and fresh fruit. I won't tell you that last night it was cauliflower and butternut squash curry, to which was added some yellow frozen tomatoes from the greeners. Actually, it didn't taste bad, but it wasn't quite what I was expecting. But it strikes me that if we tot up the money we don't spend in the supermarket and we eat the freezer down, then actually that might just be a significant gift to send to one of the charities that feed the hungry. So I'll let you know how I get on. It's only a few days in. I have visions of fish fingers and, I don't know, frozen fruit or something. We'll see how it goes. I promise you there are not a lot of cakes in there because we're not really cake eaters. But giving alms was also an old Lenten discipline. So the giving of money from what we save from giving up the chocolate, the crisps, the cigarettes, the wine should make a difference in other people's lives. And that's a challenge for us, to be generous in that way. John, and it's not his real name because he changed it, is a Muslim shopkeeper. And he was speaking to one of my colleagues, Nick, who gets the morning papers from his shop. And they often talk about each other's faith and religious habits. And Nick was very impressed with John because he prays five times a day. And Nick, as an Anglican, prays morning and evening prayer. And he was very impressed by his keeping of the feast of the discipline of Ramadan. You know, not eating anything when the sun came up until it had gone down again. It's a long day for fasting. And he was thinking about this, and then we're having a conversation. And John said to Nick, well, it's okay you're thinking that that's doing okay, but you, as a Christian, had Lent. You had Lent. This really disturbed Nick because he thought, I've got Lent. But clearly, from another person and another tradition's eyes, it looks like we've lost it. We don't give any thought to it. We don't have any discipline around Lent anymore. We don't all get in it together. And maybe that's what the radio shows were saying, you know? We might give it up, but we don't actually think that it's about focusing on God. It's about fasting and sacrifice. It's about self-denial. It's about serving our neighbours. It's about giving to the poor and the needy. So that quite brings another feeling to Lent, if we've had it and it's past it. Maybe to retrieve it, we need to be able to share what we're doing. So each time a neighbour, a friend, someone at school, at work, in the family says, I've given up crisps, I've given up Facebook, I've given up chocolate, or whatever it is, and you can say, well, why is that? And they say, well, I want to be fit for Easter, or I want to buy a new dress for Easter, or something. You could say, well, I've given up whatever it is, and the reason I've done it is because I love the Lord Jesus and I want to get closer to him. I want to learn more of his ways. And it seems to me that that's one way, as well as being distinctive in our Christian life, that actually Lent is important to us, but it's also one way of us telling the gospel story to people where they are. If there's all these people in Essex just giving up chocolate for the sake of giving up chocolate, I'd love to go meet them and say, I'll give up chocolate with you too, but I'll do it because of Jesus. So can you see those two priorities from Transforming Presence? Living a distinctive Christian life, keeping our fast until Easter, but also the possibility of just being able to connect and evangelize with people effectively as we gently tell them the story of Jesus who came for us, who suffered and struggled, who resisted temptation and kept to God's plan, who went to the cross, the one we've been worshipping, that Jesus who died on the cross in a cruel way and then rose again at Easter. I want to be ready to celebrate so much that new life that he brings in, and I want so many others to know of that love and life too. So I just hope that simply and carefully and quietly and faithfully, you might just think about how you will keep Lent this year. It's the first Sunday in Lent. It's not too late to begin. Think about whether you'll put something down or pick something up. Whether you'll give up something, save some money to give away, but above all, give yourself space to study scripture, read something extra, and serve your neighbour better. You see, when Jesus burst from the tomb, he overcame sin and death. We heard, didn't we, in our first reading, how sin and death were around. It's part of being human. That Jesus described as the second Adam, conquered them all out of his love for us so that we might be in right relationship with him and God the Father. So, reset your compass this Lent. I encourage you to take time to do that and learn more of the love of God. Do things together with others. Share that love in words or actions. But whatever, don't go through these next 6 weeks blind, missing the opportunities to tell others of the good news of Jesus. And so my prayer for each of us, but for you especially, Mark's Day this morning, is that you may truly have a holy, faithful Lent. And may come to the joy of Easter morning, renewed and refreshed and strengthened on your journey of faithfulness. God bless each one of you.